from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Now back to Steiny and Guru. Take it away, Steiny.
All right, thanks, Steph. Appreciate that. All guests on the 95.7 The Game appear courtesy of the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. Let's welcome in Ben Golliver of the Washington Post. He is in Vegas covering the U.S. Olympic team. Ben, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. How's it going?
Good. I mean, I'm just going to start with an easy one, because a lot of people up here in the Bay are a little bit worried about their 36-year-old superstar. How has Steph Curry looked so far to your eye?
Well, you know, one thing we always get out of these USA basketball camps are the stories about the guys who are setting the tone, kind of working the hardest, you know, letting all the younger guys know how they need to commit to the sport. And almost after every single training camp practice this week, Steph's been going through that crazy shooting routine he has, you know, going for a half an hour, just swish, swish, swish. You got all these onlookers just, you know, jaws on the floor, getting a chance to see what you guys see up there in the Bay Area all the time. So he looks pretty good to me. I mean, certainly he's doing better than Kevin Durant, who had the calf strain right off the top, and Kawhi Leonard, who had to, you know, withdraw from the team today because of his ongoing knee issue. So I think he's going to be one of the faces of this group. Him, LeBron, and KD clearly are the core trio that they built this whole team around. I think he's going to get a lot of touches, a lot of shots. There's been some talk about using him in a little bit more of a catch-and-shoot role because they got that shorter three-point line overseas, and he's just going to be able to snipe with the ball in LeBron's hands. So I think we're in for a show starting tonight, USA versus Canada in their first showcase. And then it's going to be off to the races in Paris.
Ben, let me ask you a question, because I'm in denial about Steph and this Warrior team coming off a season that didn't, you know, result in the playoffs. And I was all in on Paul George or anybody that could help Steph. They didn't get Paul George. When you look at him now, Ben, how big of a difference do you think it is had they got Paul George? Would you said, you know what, I think they're a top five team in the West, as opposed to what they are now without making that deal?
Look, I think anybody who avoided paying Paul George $200+ million is a winner, you know, just flat out. I think when you're at that stage of his career, you look at the level of playoff success that he's had, especially over these last 3 years, there just really hasn't been any of it to speak of. And I don't think you want that third contract clogging up your books. You know, it was obviously emotionally very difficult for everybody involved to lose Klay Thompson. You could see it on Steve Kerr's face. And you could really see it on, you know, Steph Curry's face. I mean, when he was talking about USA basketball and then the subject of Klay Thompson came up, like, his whole body language changed, his face changed. I mean, you could tell he was still kind of hurting from that that departure, understandably so, after so many years together, right? But when you're looking at this new cap economics, I think it's foolish to have three really big salaries on your books simultaneously. You got to avoid that scenario. It's the kind of thing that really cooked the Lakers a couple years ago when they got Russell Westbrook. And I think even though it was emotionally difficult to move on from Klay Thompson, I think it's going to make more sense here over the next couple of seasons as you try to retool or as you try to chase another guy like a Lauri Markkanen or whoever it might be to have a little bit more flexibility. I just think that's the way the league is trending. You can't have the big three salaries. And I think for Golden State and for Steph Curry himself, even though it's tough here in the short term, and I really don't see this being a team that's like a top four team in the Western Conference next year at all. I think it's going to wind up, you know, making better use of his last couple of years here by being able to have that flexibility and chase somebody else big.
Ben Golliver joining us on 95.7 The Game, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. Ben covering the U.S. basketball team down in Vegas. He works for the Washington Post. How big of a favorite are the United States, is the United States in this Olympics, and where is their biggest competition going to come from, do you think?
Well, they're not as big a favorite as the women's team. The women's team is like off the books. Like, you can almost not bet on it because they're going to run through everybody, even though they don't have Caitlin Clark, but that's a different story for a different day. The men's team is strongly favored, but they're always strongly favored, and they don't always win. I mean, we saw it last year with the FIBA World Cup. They went into that tournament heavy favorites, and they wound up losing three games and finishing fourth. So there's going to be some real competition for these guys. First, you're going to circle Serbia. I mean, that was a team that made the final of the World Cup last year without Nikola Jokic. We're expecting him to play, although, you know, he's been a little bit coy about what his participation is going to be like. Obviously, you got the best player in the world, an incredible system, a group of guys that play together and are very unselfish and very physical. That's just going to be a tough team for anybody, right? You're looking at France. There's going to be a Twin Towers inside with Victor Wembanyama and Rudy Gobert. It's going to be hard to score in the paint against those guys. And they've got some proven perimeter players that have logged a lot of minutes together. Nicholas Batum, Evan Fournier. They push USA basketball pretty hard in the Tokyo final, I should say, in the Olympics 3 years ago. USA survived, but it was a nail biter for sure. And then, of course, you're looking at Canada, the team that USA plays tonight here in Las Vegas. They've got 10 current NBA players on their group. They've got Jamal Murray, and then they're headlined by Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the MVP runner-up. There's a lot of talent there. They don't have the same size as USA basketball, so it's going to be a little bit of a stylistic clash. I think USA basketball is really going to be trying to bully people during this tournament. They've got Embiid. They've got Anthony Davis up front. They've got Bam Adebayo. That's about as good of a center rotation as you could have in this tournament. They've got LeBron, who can play a point forward at 6'9". They'll have Kevin Durant and Jason Tatum, big, long, active wings. So I think that's really going to be their identity. And we'll see if they're able to kind of overcome some of these other teams that are approaching things a little bit differently.
Hey, Ben, help me out if you can. We just got the news about Kawhi Leonard. He's hurt, and I hate to hear that news for him. But the replacement and the energy coming behind that from fans of one Derek White, who I love, but my goodness, the NBA Finals MVP was Jaylen Brown, and he's taken to Twitter to, you know, put up some emojis to almost, you know, make it look like he's confused or baffled. What did you make of Derek White getting that replacement over Jaylen Brown?
Well, I'm never going to be a guy who tries to dissect the Twitter emojis. I mean, that's probably for somebody else. But I will say I had that same look on my face when they named Kawhi Leonard to the team initially. I mean, no disrespect, right? But this is a guy who's had long, long history of injury issues that have kept him out of international competition. He's never really played for USA basketball at a high level. He's coming off of a playoffs where he barely could get up and down the court. I mean, he was a major liability for the Clippers in their first draft series. The Mavericks were able to exploit him when he was on the court, and they really took advantage when he couldn't go the last couple of games. It just made no sense to include him with this group originally. Whether it was Jaylen Brown or Paolo Banchero, who played well for the FIBA World Cup team last year, there was other guys you could have plugged into that spot and given somebody an opportunity. He didn't seem like he was going through these practices very hard. Obviously, with his age and his injury history, that kind of makes sense. Of course, we're not able to see everything during these scrimmages, so maybe he was doing stuff before we got in there. But I can't say I was surprised he withdrew. Now, USA Basketball did have these backup plans in place. They had talked about that, but I feel bad for Jaylen Brown. If he did want to play, he certainly deserved it, and I would have taken him originally over a Kawhi Leonard just based on his age and based on the versatility of his game. He's able to step back and be a little bit more of a role player, be a two-way wing, and that's what you need with so many stars on this group. I think that's why they like Derek White, because they know he's not going to hog the ball. They know he's going to play hard-nosed defense. They know he's going to stretch the floor and shoot threes. I get why they would want him, but I personally would have wanted one more wing out there, and I think Jaylen Brown, if he wanted to be on this team, he should have been on this team.
Ben Golliver of the Washington Post joining us on 95.7 The Game, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. I understand you don't cover Canada's Olympic team, but I'm wondering, have you, and I apologize if I'm putting you on the spot, you know anything, or have you heard anything about the Andrew Wiggins situation and why he's not on Team Canada? Does it have? There was a report by Doug Smith in Toronto that the Warriors maybe were withholding him from playing. Have you heard anything down in Vegas about that?
No, so, I mean, it's kind of similar to this Kawhi situation with USA Basketball, where, you know, the teams typically can't just dictate what happens, but they get to have a voice in it. And if you look at the press release that USA Basketball put out, it was sort of this, like, they framed it like it was a mutual decision, like the Clippers and Kawhi and USA Basketball almost came together to not have him be on that group. And so clearly when players, you know, have contract issues that are out there potentially involved in trade situations or have health concerns, there's going to be, you know, organizations are going to have opinions on that, and they're probably going to wish the guy doesn't play because it could impact everything else that's going on. I was surprised to see that it wound up changing course for Canada, you know, with respect to Wiggins, because, you know, I generally think if guys want to play, they should be able to play. You know, Canada, they have a really interesting identity. I mean, they're a really scrappy group. Like, Dylan Brooks is kind of the heart and soul of that team. They really get after it. Obviously, Shea plays hard all the time, has a chip on his shoulder. So that's kind of their group, and you just look, you know, how Wiggins has played here the last year, like that really hasn't been who he's been, right? So Is it this massive loss for Canada going into this tournament? I'm not sure I would say that, but if he wanted to play again, I think he should have been able to play just like anybody else.
Love it. Ben, the Warriors got two young players on the select team practicing with Team USA, Brandon Podziemski and Trace Jackson Davis. Have you seen anything that jumped out to you about their performance thus far?
Well, I'll tell you, with Pods, man, it's going to be his shots. It's not going to be the passes, because that guy's putting the rock up like in these scrimmages. He's getting his shots up, you know, and he was playing really competitively against Steph at times, one-on-one, heads up. I think Steph might have even said he's the most competitive guy he's ever seen, which is, you know, quite the compliment coming from an all-time great. But it was just a very aggressive Pods throughout the scrimmages that we watched. You know, with Jackson Davis, I really couldn't say too much other than that's a tough job, and I think he deserves, you know, kind of like a Purple Heart for signing up for it, because going in there in the paint against Embiid, Davis, Bam Adebayo, where the USA is really trying to establish itself down low, and Embiid's getting all this contact. You know, there was actually one situation where Embiid, you know, unfortunately hit Pods in the face and kind of knocked him out of a scrimmage for a little bit. So he's out there, you know, trying to play like an MVP, trying to assert himself in the middle. That's a tough thing to sign up for during the summer. So give that guy some brownie points, you know.
Hey Ben, let me ask you this: have you, you know, I know you've covered the league for a long time. I'm looking at this Olympic team and specifically to Steph Curry, but I see Durant, Steph Curry, Drew Holiday, LeBron James. I heard Steph say it's 39 days from the start of camp till the end of the Olympics. Is there any way to measure? Or is there any history on the older type players who've played in the Olympics, and then what happens the following season?
Well, I would say this. I don't think USA Basketball's ever had a core trio as old as this trio, right? I mean, because we haven't seen somebody like LeBron play until his age 40 season. We haven't seen somebody like Steph be this effective at his size this late in his career. We haven't seen somebody come back from this injury that Kevin Durant had during the 2019 finals and sustain high-level play for a full half decade afterwards. Like, all this stuff is unprecedented, right? So I think we're kind of going into the great unknown. in terms of sort of easing those concerns, here's what I would say. I mean, they're going to have a good time in Paris, right? Like, Steve Kerr made the joke, we're not going to be playing 36 holes of golf on game day like Chuck Daly and Michael Jordan did, you know, back in 1992. But it really boils down to they're going to play six games in the Olympics, right? And they're going to have a couple of wins within that the opening round that you're not going to have to worry too much about. So they're ultimately really going to play four games that matter over that 39-day period. Now, of course, everyone wants them to go 11-0, including these exhibition games they have to play. And if they don't, they're going to hear about it. But what we're really talking about is four games over the course of a month. And they're not even 48-minute games. They're 40-minute games, right? So I'm not super worried about the wear and tear. Everybody seemed to be just in an excellent mood, especially LeBron and Steph. They kept talking about how they were excited to spend time with each other off the court, something they've really never gotten to do in an extended stretch throughout their careers. And so, I wouldn't hand-wring too much. Now, obviously, if somebody else gets injured, if some of these old guys run into situations like Kevin is dealing with right now, that's really where you start to have a little bit more of a concern factor.
Ben, I like to have some fun, so bear with me on this one. I'm not comparing this guy I'm about to bring up to LeBron or Zion, and the reason I use those as examples is I remember where I was at where I first saw him. And I saw Cooper Flagg working out with the Team USA, 6'8", 17 years old, going to Duke. And I'm not saying he's those guys at all, but Ben, I got to tell you, I was impressed. What did you get to see him, and what did you make of what you saw from Cooper Flagg? Because I'm excited to see him play at Duke.
Oh, as well you should be. I mean, I think you guys know I'm not a hyperbole guy. Hopefully you get that sense. I think he's the best American high school prospect since Kevin Durant, period. And you look at it, KD was a better scorer at that age, but I think Cooper is a more well-rounded, more polished player. He just has no weaknesses. I got a chance to spend a little bit of time with him back in April, and he was just phenomenal against guys his age. And the question to me was, okay, well, you put him in the ACC, because he's not this like naturally born alpha scorer, is he going to wind up getting lost in the shuffle a little bit? And we saw during that practice that you're talking about, those scrimmages against the Dream Team, this current USA basketball team, I mean, he wasn't getting lost at all. He was taking over that scrimmage. I think he had 11 points in about 4 minutes. He had a three-pointer, sidestep three-pointer right in Anthony Davis's face. He's finishing in traffic over Bam Adebayo. But the most impressive part about him is this guy can guard 1-4. He gets isolated on Steph Curry on the perimeter. How many NBA guys do you see that their feet start getting happy, right? They start dancing. They start getting nervous because Steph's going to put them in the blender. Cooper trusts his feet. He's super quick. He's got great instincts. I mean, he's guarding ball handlers who are dribbling the ball up the court, and then he's guarding Anthony Davis on the block. I mean, he's just a very, very, very complete player, well ahead of his schedule. And I'm not sure everybody knows this about him. He's supposed to be going into his high school senior year. He reclassified last year, skipped a grade, so he could get to Duke faster. That's why he's 17 years old, and that's why he's going to be draft eligible next June. So this guy has been on the fast track to the NBA at every turn. He led a high school team last year to an undefeated season, a national championship down there with Montverde Academy. He's the real deal. Everybody was singing his praises. Evan Durant was saying he plays like a vet already, and he's 17. So I was kind of telling people, this is going to be like one of those fishing stories, being in the gym, watching him go against USA basketball. Right. If he turns into the kind of player that we're expecting, which is, number one pick, perennial all-star, maybe a Hall of Famer one day, everyone's going to say, oh, I remember seeing Cooper Flagg put up 40 on LeBron with the Team USA, and it was 130 degrees in Las Vegas. Like, it's going to get one of those, like, myth-type-making situations, because that's how good he was the other day. And, it was unanimous. I mean, people were saying he's the best guy on the select team, and he's 4, 5, 6 years younger than a lot of his teammates.
Wow. Yeah, wonderful. Play more than 7 games at Duke, which I think is what Kyrie played the one year he was there, right? Something like that.
Ben, I was like, I hope he doesn't get mad I'm asking about this kid, but good God, I'm glad I did. He is the real deal, it sounds like. Man.
No, Edge, he's a gamer. Trust me. He's going to play every minute. He's going to play every minute hard. He's not trying to shut anything down. If they had said, hey, do you want to come over to Paris and take Kawhi's place, he would have been on the first thing smoking, man. Like, this kid really, really wants to win. And when I was up there in Portland, he was doing this high school tournament, and you had Danny Ainge, you had Brad Stevens, you had Masai Ujiri all sitting there on these rock hard high school bleachers, you know, watching this kid play for like 2 hours. You could just kind of see the drool, you know, the saliva. They're like, oh my God, this guy's got it, you know?
Hey, Ben, thank you so much for joining us. Really great stuff. Really appreciate it. Have fun in Vegas. Don't work too hard in Paris.
All right. Sounds good, guys. Take care.
Yes, sir. Ben Golliver, Washington Post, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop.
Man, Steiny, I'm excited.
Well, he's not going to be a Warrior.
Well, what if they tanked?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, but what would
Steph think of that?
I'm stealing that from Evan.
What would Steph think of that?
Man.
They can't tank with Steph here.
Not since Kevin Durant, Steiny. Boy.
You know, just to let people in behind the scenes, like, you tend to look at me a lot, and I tend to look at you a lot, but I look to my right a lot because I got to deal with Evan.
Yeah.
So Ben Golliver, who's done something in this business, is talking about Cooper Flagg and how he he advanced to his senior year,
yeah,
and his high school team. And I just look over at I look over to Evan like, huh? And Evan's shaking his head like, yeah, get to know Cooper Flagg. Like, yeah, everybody knows this about Cooper Flagg. He's 17. Right. Earn something first.
He just told you he's the greatest high school prospect since Kevin Durant.
What's Golliver know?
Chalk one up for USA. Yeah, because we're talking about all the... Dude, he looked apart, though, Steiny.
Yeah. Well, not the whole part.
Which is...
Yeah, he's still.
I thought you were going to say something like, he's like, oh, well, he locked up Curry. And you're like,
oh,
well.
Oh, yeah. I was waiting on that.
Well, Kevin Love locked up
Curry.
Who
can't do that?
He was hurt.
I know. Kevin Love was hurt. He still stayed in front of him.
Man, you better stop. Dude, I'm excited about this kid. So he can come out, play this year, and one and done.
Wow. It sounds like that's a lock.
Why wouldn't you?
I mean, remember, Kyrie Irving played 7 games, I think, at Duke. That's it. And then they shut him down.
It's pretty incredible. Like, he's from Maine. Like,
wow.
He's the greatest player.
What's your point?
Well, you don't typically see a lot of great athletes come out of the state of Maine.
I was just about to ask you.
Especially ones that are noticed the way that he has been.
Why don't you Google that? I think you'd be surprised.
No, you would know. You would already have one. Like Terry Bradshaw from Maine. There's no fight.
You know what? Look up some. I'm not going to do it. Look up some great athletes from Maine. Then give us hints.
But they won't be big to big boys. We would know.
I gotta believe they got 3 athletes from Maine who will say, damn, that's pretty good. You know, so obviously Cooper Flagg shunned the Maine Black Bears, the University of Maine. He chose not to go there instead.
Oh, boy.
Went to Duke.
Oh, his list is trouble.
Is it trouble?
There's no chance.
Is there any NBA player from Maine?
No! I'm saying
in the last 30 years.
Google the GU.
I'm going down the list of the top 50 ones. I don't think you're... Oh, boy.
That's just...
We'll open it up to the text line.
No, Evan's on it.
Xfinity Mobile text line.
Well,
what about Ben also said, Steiny, something in my craw. I mean, man, you could have gave that to... And I love Derek White. You could have gave that to Jaylen Brown.
So they took White over Brown.
Yeah, but they'll probably give you an 8 on that.
Well, I think that's answering your question.
Well, no, White's black. Yeah, you know what I mean.
So it's Cooper Flagg's white.
Yeah.
Actually, he's clear.
You know that Manute Bol used to call Chris Mullin chalk?
No.
Yeah, seriously.
That's a 9.
No,
that's
seriously.
We're the hard guest.
No, that's a fact. Manute Bol's nickname for Chris Mullin was chalk.
I wonder what Mully called Manute, because Manute was dark.
Those guys were really good friends.
Oh, that man.
They were great friends.
You talk about fan favorites, Steiny Manute. He's up there on my list. I'm sorry.
He was big boy.
Him and Larry Smith.
He was a big, big boy. Yeah. There's no doubt about it.
Just remember that picture of him standing next to Muggsy Bogues?
That is... It's
2 former Warriors.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Muggsy Bogues was a Warrior. He's a locker room lawyer.
He's a nice guy, right?
Who?
Muggsy.
Yeah. What do you mean, yeah?
He's all right.
Great leader.
You had a bad experience with him?
Just one.
Oh, that explains it. I sniffed
it out.
No,
Muggsy Bogues is all right.
Okay.
He's all right.
Yeah. Smallest guy to ever play in the league. Smaller than Spud.
You're right about that.
How good was Spud Webb to you?
Not very.
All right.
Boykins.
Oh, Earl! Great call by the youngster.
Not from Maine.
Earl Boykins
is from...
I want to say Tennessee.
I'm you're thinking of CJ Watson. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I tell you what, we gotta go, Goo. We gotta go. What time is it? 11:30?
You ever heard of Jack Combs?
I didn't. No. I've never heard of him.
I pitched in 1906. I thought you might know him.
That's old. It's an old joke.
Cooper Flagg. I got the
list
got
of basketball players who were born in Maine, according to the Xfinity Mobile text line. Duncan Robinson.
There's a shocker.
Jeff Turner went to Vanderbilt. Oh. I remember Jeff Turner, a lefty, I believe. And Skip Chappelle.
Sounds like
that's
a lot of
Dave
shock.
Chappelle's brother.
Easy.
I remember Muggsy. I'm sorry, Evan. I'm interrupting you.
A lot of
you have
shock.
A show to do.
Chalk. That's great.
Yeah, that's a great nickname. That's a great nickname.
I've heard that one.
All right, 888-957-9570 is the number.
Boykins from Cleveland.
That's right.
Yeah. Text line is
that's
real
right. I should have known that. I should have known that. So you got me once today. Hey, download the Odyssey app directly from our QR code on both YouTube and Twitch. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. 888-957-9570 is the number. We'll be right back. Every nap ends with me going, huh!
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
So apparently, Brandon Pajemski is feeling frisky.
I'm going to give you one. Dude, I love that, though. This dude's out there with the stars of the stars, and he's letting them fly, and that's what makes him who he is, though.
Imagine
and maybe
him playing
he knows
with
they're going to need him to shoot.
DeAnthony Melton and those guys. You know, let me tell you something about Pods. Because I've spoken to him a few times, one-on-one.
We remember.
You know, I'm going to be honest with you. He has a confidence
it's cocky. That's, or is it confidence? No, the same. I like it.
I mean, I know you're going to say I'm making too much out of one meeting, and maybe I am, but that day that I talked to him, that night I talked to him after he missed that layup against the Bulls.
Oh, yeah, you were in the locker room.
He tried to go reverse
and I'll never forget
just
it.
Didn't get it over. You know, I'm telling you, he was, what's the word? He wasn't beating himself up over it. He was saying,
I'll be better for
it. Yeah, you know, if you want to be great in this league, you got to fail, and I'm prepared to fail if I have to. And
I love this report.
Like, I was thinking, you know what? He's a rookie. He just missed a big shot. He's going to be, like, really kind of beating himself up and shaking his head. And he wasn't like that at all. It was almost like, I'm in the NBA, and I'm going to make a lot of big shots, and I'm going to miss some shots, but I'm going to take them.
Wow.
And it just stuck out. It really did.
And we've been doing radio together, Stoudy. You don't even know this for 6 years. 6 years. Yeah. And I have a saying on our show.
Sure.
That when a guy basically needs confidence in upstairs or just in his game, he needs to take a ride with Gary Payton.
Gary Payton.
And as far as you need to go is across the Bay Bridge, and Payton will have you ready. But Pajemski don't need that ride. You know what I'm saying? He has it already. And I've coached a little bit. Eddie Howe, CYO, third to eighth grade. I would rather coach a guy that you have to tell dial it back or gal than to get the courage to muster up, because that is a thing. Potts has it all. He's out there gunning. And maybe that's why Booker left him hanging like, dude, pass me the rock.
Go ahead.
Camera for me.
Oh. Gary Payton in the same car with Potts might say, easy, big fella.
Easy. I'm driving. Yeah. No doubt, Stoudy, but I love that report, man.
All right. Let's we were talking about Manute Bol. Manute Bol, who had a funny nickname. Oh, by the way, God, I got so much. Tim Roy, the great voice of the Golden State Warriors.
He got it.
With just great knowledge. Rick Carlisle.
Wow.
Rick Carlisle.
From Maine.
He went to Maine for 1 year, the University of Maine, but he's from upstate New York. But he did go to the University of Maine for 1 year, then transferred to Virginia.
Count the bucket.
Rick Carlisle.
Yep.
Rick Carlisle.
That's pretty good.
He's got a ring.
John Sally.
He's got a ring as a player.
Yeah.
With the Celtics.
I know.
Okay, let's go to Jim and Martinez. He's got a Manute Bowl story. Home he better not Van take Gundy's. The one that I'm going to tell in a second. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, guys. You guys are cracking me up as usual. You know, I've been to a lot of Warrior games. You know, I've never been a season ticket holder. But, I mean, I was at the Sleepy Floyd game. Kids, look it up.
Exactly.
You know, I've been to, you know, closeout games. You know, but Manute Bowl, my friend had season tickets at half court, like the second row. And I took my wife. This was when Manute was playing, obviously. And you guys may not get a kick out of this, but you guys were talking. I just had to call you. And I go, so we go there. We get his tickets. We're sitting at the game. Manute comes in that stride where he looks like kind of like an elegant giraffe coming up. You know, it doesn't look like he's moving fast, but he gets up the court. They throw him the ball, and he shoots a three. Nothing but net. He goes back. A minute later, he comes down. They throw him the ball, shoots a three. Nothing but net. Same thing. Three three-pointers in a row, and my wife turns and looks at me and goes, wow, that tall guy sure can't shoot.
There you go.
Sorry, but that's like, I still crack up about that. That's one of my best Warrior memories of all time because he seemed like such a great dude. And I know he's gone, but,
right.
You know, the idea that he was like this great outside shooter, you know, my wife didn't know nothing from nothing. And I'm all like, yeah, he sure can't shoot.
7-7. Oh, yeah, Don, hey, thanks, Jim. Appreciate it. Don Nelson used him at the head of the circle from beyond the three-point line.
Is he the first stretch to ever do it, Stoddy?
It's a great one. That is a great
point.
One. Do you know that you've had to hear this story about Manute Bowl? You know, as a young herdsman in the Sudan, he killed a lion. You know that,
okay,
right?
Yeah.
He killed a lion with a spear.
Yes, sir.
Evan, did you know that?
Did not.
Okay. Yeah, he's 7'7", and he killed a lion with a spear. And then one of the funniest lines I ever heard was from the great Peter Vesey.
One of my favorites.
And he said, after watching Manute Bowl play, I'm convinced he killed that lion with a free throw.
Wow, that's Peter!
That's a good one.
Yeah, he follows me. I follow him on Twitter.
Yeah, no, Pods is not lacking confidence.
No doubt
I don't think
about
there's
it.
Any doubt about that.
And I wonder if on his to-do list from the Warriors or the Brasses, because, you know, they give guys assignments what to work on, is letting them go more.
All right, we just were joined by Ben Golliver. He's down in Vegas covering the U.S. Olympic team. Brandon Pajemski and Trace Jackson Davis are practicing against that team, and we asked Ben Golliver about those two. Take a listen.
Well, I'll tell you, with Pods, man, it's going to be his shots. It's not going to be the passes because that guy's putting the rock up in these scrimmages. He's getting his shots up, you know, and he was playing really competitively against Steph at times, one-on-one heads up. I think Steph might have even said he's the most competitive guy he's ever seen, which is, you know, quite the compliment coming from an all-time great. But it was just a very aggressive Pods throughout the scrimmages that we watched. And Embiid, you know, unfortunately hit Pods in the face and kind of knocked him out of a scrimmage for a little bit. So he's out there, you know, trying to play like an MVP, trying to assert himself in the middle. That's a tough thing to sign up for during the summer. So give that guy some brownie points.
You love it. Oh, God. Yeah. Guru loves it.
No, I'm just, I mean, the guts of a cat burglar out there letting him. He's working on his game. And, again, right now, Steiny, I know did Slater tell the Morning Roast, Bodoni and Bonte that.
Set it up.
All right, there we go.
Anthony Slater was on with the Morning Roast earlier today. Hey, Anthony, who's starting for this team?
I do think camp's really going to matter. I think Melton's health is really going to matter. But let's just assume, like, really clean health and everybody's playing well. I'll go Steph, Melton, Wiggins, Kuminga, Draymond. They go small. They want Kuminga to kind of, like, you know, feel a boost coming out and all. I'll just predict him. Small ball lineup. Melton at the two to really kind of aid Steph defensively, and then a deep bench. That's a lot of Pajemski, a lot of Trace Jackson Davis, a lot of Moody, and, you know, some Buddy Hield for some shooting, Gary Payton if he's healthy. I mean, it was pretty deep.
Anthony Slater.
Yeah.
What? Why would you go?
Well, no, it's pretty deep, but it's pretty deep with what I deem the same thing.
Strength in numbers.
Yeah, we'll see, and hopefully it has to be that.
I think it might.
And that back issue would melt. And like you said, camp matters, yeah, obviously. But, man, Stein, that's a big deal. Like, there's no meds for that. It ain't a sprained ankle. It's just the back.
You want me to scare Guru?
Do it.
All right. I had a buddy I went to college with. Teammate of mine. Okay. Of course, now I can't find it. Teammate of mine. He lives in Philadelphia. Watches all the Sixers games. And I was like, oh, and he... To my way of thinking, I think he knows basketball.
Okay. All right.
And so I was like, hey, Matt, I forgot to ask you. Yeah, tell me about Melton.
Let's go.
And Buddy Hield, who both played for the Sixers last year. Now, keep in mind, he's talking to me, and we talk similar, so I wouldn't get too wound up about it. But he said, first of all, he said, thanks for remembering my birthday. I had forgotten. Melton.
That's great.
Melton is a very solid player, but massive lumbar issue back injury. He's, now he said, legitimately mangled. But he tends to be hyperbolic. Buddy Hield, he's worried about Buddy Hield's IQ.
In other words, I know what he's probably said about him.
Great shooter, no defense. I mean,
so the massive lumbar issues is Stani. That's debilitating, man. Whoa, 38 for Melton last year on the year. He's a good player. He was a good player in Memphis, but man, let's hope this thing. He gets it back
right. Let's hope it manifests.
Celebrini. Macklin's dad will get him right.
He might.
Yeah.
Let's go to Peter in Baltimore. What's up, Peter? How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing great, guys. And I got to tell you, I'm in Baltimore, Maryland. I'm a huge Dubs fan. I listen to you guys all the time. So it's great to talk to you from across the country.
Appreciate it, man.
Listen, I want to lay out a scenario. And look, I've heard a lot of talk about the Paul George failed trade and thinking it was close and all that. But I haven't heard a ton about how that relates to Clay. And I just want to give you my scenario and see if you think it might have some merit. I think that the front office, everybody looks at the team and how they finished last season and say, listen, if we bring Clay back and we kind of run the thing back and Clay's our third best player, depending on Kuminga, whatever, don't think that we can really compete with the top of the West. And obviously with Joe Lacob, Steve Kerr, that's the goal. So my theory is that they said, all right, who can we acquire to be a true number two player? Obviously, they thought they could get Paul George. I feel as though, and listen, I understand the cap a good bit. I'm not a total professional expert. I think they wanted to get Paul George, and I think they wanted to keep Clay somehow, some way with Paul George. So maybe you ship out Chris Paul and Wiggins in that trade somehow and get some money. So is there a chance that that's their goal? And because of that, they didn't know what they could give Clay before that trade. And then they get down, you get closer to free agency, the trade hasn't been done yet, and maybe Clay at some point said, hey, screw this, I shouldn't be so low on the totem pole, I'm going to look elsewhere. But I truly believe that that might be what happened. They knew they can't compete for a championship unless they get another star player to go with Steph, but they also wanted to keep Clay. They just couldn't give Clay his deal on June 26th or whatever before they thought they were going to acquire Paul George. So that's my theory, and I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts on that.
I mean, it's possible. The only thing that we were under the impression of was that they weren't going to be able to make it happen salary-wise to have both Paul George and Klay Thompson. But I kind of agree. If you get Paul George, now you get another playmaker, and that would have been advantageous.
Well, I'll say this to that, though, Stani, after doing what we did yesterday and the last few shows just as a station – that golf course had nothing to do with Paul George. The bad blood was there or was over. And to me, that Paul George didn't signal anything. Of course, you'd like to have Clay and Paul George, but bottom line is, if they knew it was over, it was a wrap before Paul George.
It kind of sounds like that to me, too. Let's go to JD in Oakland. What's up, JD?
What's going on, fellas? What's going on?
Talk to us.
We got to take the gloves off with Clay. We got to take the gloves off. We got to remember Clay was paid $80 million for 2 years that he didn't play. And the NBA spoke on what his worth was when he went out and got a three-year, $50 million deal. The Warriors offered him $248. He said no. And the NBA said that's what he's worth, a mid-level exception plus a little bit more. I mean, you paid him $80 million. You didn't play for two seasons. So that's long gone. But we got to stop trying to fool ourselves that we're okay. Without marketing or another splash. This is they're not going to make the playoffs.
Wow.
They're going to waste another year of Steph, and they're not going to be very good. Kuminga's coming, but he's not there yet. And Porzingis, once you start game planning for Porzingis, now you're going to see all of his deficiencies.
You mean Pajemski? So, come on.
Pajemski, I mean, he's a fourth option.
I hear
and
you.
He's under that Steph umbrella. He's under that Steph umbrella that makes everybody look good. Now, once he comes from under that umbrella, it's going to go hot for him.
Wow.
Let me
ask you this.
When his name goes on the chalkboard, it's going to be really, really hard for him to do some of the things that he's doing. And I'm here to tell you, that's exactly what's going to happen.
Wow. Well, let me ask you this real quick. If you look at the Warriors last year, okay, they lose Chris Paul and Klay Thompson. I didn't think Klay had a good year, and Chris Paul, I guess he was good with that second unit. So you don't think there's any way the combination of Melton and Kyle Anderson and Buddy Hield can replace those two guys, and the Warriors are better chemistry-wise, fit-wise, and they're better. You don't think that's possible?
If it's possible, you're still going to be a 10th in the West, 11th in the West. What are you playing for? I mean, you should have, in theory, gotten $70-80 million back with Clay's contract and with CP's contract. And what did you get? Kyle Anderson?
Wow.
Melton? Come on, man. We got to get another GM. Dunleavy doesn't have the cachet to pull off deals. He's not going to entice anybody to deal with him. They're all going to look to take advantage. I mean, you got to call a spade a spade. We need somebody. You can't go from an executive of the year multiple times to a guy who's so new that he can't get anybody to make a deal with him. And I don't love Milton, but he's serviceable. But these guys are not going to truly make the Warriors any better. They're not going to do it. I mean, I would look at trying to go get Ben Simmons and see if you can do something with him mentally that allows him to be, a four that can help you. I mean, because what you have now, you're going to be in the lottery pick. Hopefully you lose enough to get flagged.
Flag.
All right, JD.
Yeah, good
appreciate
stuff,
it, my
Jim.
Man.
He's not, he's scared, Stoney. He's not scared. He just don't believe they're ready, and he believes Pods. Now that he's, I love that, on the chalkboard, he garners more attention. But nah, Stoney, I think Pods has the IQ to survive. But, is he Klay Thompson? And is Melton Klay Thompson? Is Melton healthy? I don't know. But we'll see, and that's why I'm in on marketing. But, boy, Ben Simmons, I don't know if you saw last night. It was all over X and Twitter.
Oh, no.
He's healthy and ready to resume. I don't know what that means or who will take a flyer. But
I mean,
if it's come to that for us here, then, oh, wow.
Yeah, I would take a shot.
Yeah.
I would.
Sounds like JD would, too.
I would. He's probably got to be on the end of his deal soon, right? Ben Simmons, a couple things there though that he brought up that I think are interesting. One is Dunleavy as a GM, and I think I talked about this a couple weeks ago. If you remember, if you're old enough to remember Mike Dunleavy as a player,
which I am,
okay, what kind of player was he?
To some, disappointing because he was drafted high and you thought he was the next.
Yeah, I'm talking about more specifically about his game. Oh, his game.
As I far would as, call him sound.
Yeah, I would too. But I would call, he was the, to me, Mike Dunleavy was the kind of guy you make this statement about. Oh, he lets the game come to him. He could float a little bit. Sometimes he was out there and you kind of didn't notice
him. So a little Wiggins.
He's
a little Wiggins.
Yeah, right. I think that's fair.
Right.
He's always patient, very patient, fundamentally sound. Didn't take a lot of risks
on
the court.
Right.
So I'm going to assume, and I think from what I've seen from Dunleavy already, he is kind of the same general manager that he was as a player, at least so far, and that is kind of safe.
Yeah.
He's not, he maybe took a big swing or two, but they didn't get Paul George, and he didn't do something right away that would have been risky. And look,
But Paul George was risky. That's what I loved about it. So that goes against
maybe that might not have been him. That might not have been him pushing that. I don't know. But but the one thing I can see with Mike Dunleavy for sure is, okay, no Paul George. Let's get Melton in here. Let's get Hield in here. Let's get Anderson in here. Let's give them really solid contracts in terms of their numbers. We got Kuminga. We got so I think what the Warriors have done this offseason, what they hope for is that they've gotten a little bit better and they have more flexibility so they can make a big move when it presents itself. It hasn't presented itself yet. So as far as Dunleavy is concerned. But I do think, I mean, listen, if you're old enough to remember Mike Dunleavy as a player, I don't see him as a GM that's going to be a quote-unquote freewheeler.
I was listening to Willard and Dibbs. It might have been yesterday, the day before, but Stoudy, Dibbs has been hammering home that point. But just a guy like me, I differentiate. I don't think nothing Mike is doing has anything to do with his playing days. You know what I mean? Like, you're right. He probably had an answer to the boss if he said, go get me Paul George. Okay, boss, I'll go try to do it, you know, with what you allow me to use, the resources. And it didn't happen, but I don't know how you could be out on him.
On
Mike Dunleavy.
I don't know what his moves are and what Joe Lacob's moves are.
Joe's on record as saying we do it as a group, too.
Well, that's a joke. That's a joke. I mean, it's not a joke,
but
because
he said
Joe has the final say.
Wow.
Joe Lacob always will have the final say.
Yeah, as he should.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Let's go to Eric in San Francisco. Hey, Eric, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey,
love the show. Thank you for having me as a first-time caller.
Sure.
But I have a story about Manute Bol.
Oh, okay.
A buddy of mine cut school in high school, and we were playing ball. It was Manute Bol's rookie year. We were playing ball in Bay Farm Island back in the day.
Oh, I know where that is.
And then we were shooting around. Oh, yeah, yeah. So we were shooting around, and this tall dude walks up to us. We didn't know who he was, and he was like, couldn't speak English too well, and he's like, can I shoot? I was like, yeah. So we started picking up, and he couldn't miss. I was like, what the hell? And so he says, let's play 21. So we played 21, and we couldn't get a shot off. And he was just smiling at us the whole time. And then he walks away. He goes, nice meeting you. I was like, yeah, that dude is hella good. And that was my, you know, impression of Manute Bol. Thank you for having me, fellas.
Yeah, sure.
I wanted him to, when you realize who it was.
Well, how do you not know?
But it sounds like they didn't know. He could have been Manute's first friend. Tickets. I just said.
Oh my
God. Oh, hey, don't I say
you're always
what
looking
you're
for a handout?
Now,
aren't
see
you?
That I'm not. I'm just. Well, I would have milked it a little bit. Hey, Manute knew it down. Yeah, sounds like he didn't know. They didn't know it was Manute.
You know, here's what I don't understand. So I just bring up. You know, I don't say I'm right. I don't say this is gospel.
Oh.
I say, you know, if you remember Mike Dunleavy as a player, this is the way he was. And, you know, maybe that's the way he's going to be as a GM.
And we got you.
No, and you go, well, I don't think there's any correlation between him as a player and as a GM. I'm just saying. Like, you know, you came down my road. I thought it was unfair.
No, I think when anybody brings up that comp, it doesn't put Mike in a great light.
You know what? We can talk about that on the other side.
That's why I was just trying not to defend him. I just took that like, man, the embryo, it's just here.
Right?
He's just new to the gig. But when you bring in his whole career, I feel like he loses in that. And that's what people, that's why they bring that up.
All right. Yeah. All right. Okay.
I don't think it's fair. That's all.
That's different. 888-957-9570 is a number. I'll tell you what. It looks like James, who brought up Mike Dunleavy, has spurred a conversation about Mike Dunleavy because people want to talk about Mike Dunleavy. Now entering year two as the leader of the Golden State Warriors, is it time to start looking at him? I'm not looking at him like trouble brewing, but how easy is it to tell what he's responsible for and what he's on board with and not. Next week, our lineup's going to be jacked up, baby. Starting Monday, Willard and Dibs are going to be on from 6 to 10. They get their way. Bonte and Chasky are going to be on from 10 to 2. And Guru and I get hosed with the 2 to 6 shift. I'm kidding.
Drive time, baby. Drive time.
I know it. I know it.
You got dressed better.
Also, you know what I might? People are driving, they're not going to be watching. Mm. Also, we're going to be giving away a Klay Thompson autographed jersey next week. It's just for 1 week, so don't worry about it. It's brought to you by Jack's Restaurant, and this segment was brought to you by Robert Half.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.